Welcome back to Workday Playdate with Improve It. I am your host, Erin Deal. This is the show where we mix play, improv, and real talk to help you live and lead with more energy, joy, and empathy. Now, today, I want you to imagine this, all right? You're eating clean. You're moving your body, maybe even meditating, but you're still exhausted. You're still stressed, or you're maybe even sick. What if it isn't about what you're eating or how many steps you're hitting, but instead what your unconscious mind is holding on to? That is exactly what we're diving into with my guest today, Dr. Moshe Daniel Block, naturopathic doctor, healer, author, and creator of holistic counseling. He overcame his own rare autoimmune disease by uncovering and healing the unconscious beliefs that were literally making him sick. Now he teaches thousands of people and practitioners to do the same. My peeps, I'm gonna keep it real. We live in a world where chronic illness, autoimmune conditions, and burnout are skyrocketing. And yet, 75% of doctor's visits are stress-related. Traditional medicine often gives us band-aids. Here's a pill. Do this diet. Try this routine. But it never addresses the deeper cause. And that's the problem. That's why this conversation matters so much. Because healing isn't just about the body. It is about listening to the unconscious mind, the part of us holding our old wounds, our fears, or beliefs, and then letting it release. The research is so clear. Stress and unresolved trauma weaken the immune system. Chronic stress changes our home, our hormones, our digestion, even our sleep cycles. Healing becomes possible when we uncover the hidden patterns driving the symptoms. The epiphany is this: the body doesn't lie. I learned this the hard way myself, and I have shows from 2023, a self-healing series, if you will. If you want to go back and listen to them, we'll place those in the show notes. I also get super vulnerable today. We go through one of Dr. Moshe's special techniques, and I'm going to let you in a little bit of my own unconsciousness. But what I've learned and what you will learn in this show is that if we listen to what the unconscious is holding, we can open the door to real healing, not just symptom management. So this play date is still playful, but it's real and it's based on research, facts, and so much greatness. Let's get to our play date today with Dr. Moshe. Here we go. Okay, Dr. Moshe, welcome to Workday Playdate. I'm excited you're here, my friend.
Thank you. Me too. So excited and happy.
Okay, and you're coming to us from Nashville. Well, not Nashville, from Tennessee. Where in Tennessee are you?
East Tennessee. I'm about 20 minutes south of Johnson City.
Okay, I'm so pumped. We got an East Coaster on the line. Not you. Not kind of East Coast. Kind of southeast-ish.
Ish. We could kind of do that.
East Coast for life.
I feel easty.
Well, I'm glad that you feel easty, and I feel excited that you're here. And I love to set intentions with the peeps we have on our show. We call our community the peeps. So, what is one intention that you would either like to give or receive or have in this conversation today?
To help people see with clarity, you know, dispelling a lot of the myths and the misleading information of the importance, the central importance of the mind in health and healing and success. I mean, I think in the community, this like the business community, there is this idea of like what false beliefs are, you know, blocking you. And that's a really good intro to this. The mind playing a central role in health and wellness. So that's what I'd love to establish today as an intention.
Okay, can we use clarity? Can that be the one word? We'll say clarity. But I love that because there's so much that, I mean, literally, I feel like I could talk to you for hours. This work just fascinates me. I've done my research on you, but I would love for you to just start with your personal story, because you overcame a sickness that you have, and I'd love for you to share that. And what did it teach you about the unconscious and the physical illness? What did that unlock for you? And share that with our peeps.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what it unlocked for me was a clarity. There's that word again. Going through training as a naturopathic doctor of the central importance of the mind in healing. Because, you know, there's so many things that I learned as a naturopathic doctor, and very, very little of that is how our mind, how our beliefs influence our health. When that is clearly strong in my experience of getting sick with myasthenia gravis, a rare autoimmune disease, where the immune cells are like attacking the cell as a reflection of the person, this guy with the two thumbs pointing at himself, attacking himself for not being perfect. So what I learned was that my belief that I needed to be perfect was strong enough that it held a reality position in my mind. So that when I was not fulfilling this idea, like, you need to be perfect, buddy, then I would punish myself. I would attack myself emotionally, mentally. And as a result of that, my body reflected. So this is my body reflected that self-attack. So this is another thing that I learned, which was so key during some of the darkness that I went through in my training, just from the difficulty of it. And also from this sort of like very mechanistic naturopathic medicine has in an attempt to become credible, has gone very like material based, you know, to try to gain credibility. But that's kind of a mistake. But it helped me realize, like, having this experience, like, I'll never forget it. I can never doubt it. That when I stopped turning against myself and attacking myself, my body didn't have to reflect it anymore. And so the autoimmunity, which is what autoimmune disease is, I've seen in the vast majority of my cases, some kind of self-attack, some kind of internalization of blame, guilt, attacking self with shame. We can do it in all kinds of creative ways. And then the body will reflect that. The body, generally speaking, is a passive passenger in our life. And it reflects what's going on in the higher faculty. So that's what I learned. And that's been great.
Okay. I want to take this 800 places. I'm trying to land the plane, because I feel you. I think I mentioned this to you before we hit record. And some of the peeps who are listening, I want to encourage you to go back to episodes in 2023, because I shared my own journey through physical pain. It wasn't autoimmune, but physical pain that was undiagnosable by doctors, was not showing up on x-rays, MRIs. And what I learned was that it was in my back and in my shoulders. And what I learned was that I was carrying the weight of so many people. And that is what our shoulders and our back do. And I was attacking myself for not giving enough to them, when in reality, I was basically being weighed down by 100 bricks that weren't mine. And I had to learn to stop people pleasing and being a perfectionist with that. And like always trying to look outward for validation when the real validation was internal. So I'm along with you for this ride, because I believe in this work. And we have so many people who I know listening to this. I could list on one hand people that I know need this episode right now in their life immediately. So let's jump into this, because I feel like there's just so much that we can learn from you. So one of your specialties is the VIS dialogue, right? Holistic counseling. Am I right in saying that?
You're right.
Okay. What is that in simple terms? And then what makes that different from traditional therapy?
Yeah, great question. So the VIS dialogue, the word VIS comes from the Latin tenet of naturopathic medicine. Vis medicatrix naturae, which means the healing power of nature. So it's like the Healing Power of Nature dialogue. And what it is a series of very well tailored, selected questions to query the patient / client to get them to reflect deeper and deeper from the starting point of their chief complaint. Could be your back pain, could be anxiety, insomnia, or autoimmune, whatever it is, to deepen an understanding of what is actually occurring in the subconscious mind in the form of false beliefs and stuck emotions that reflect the beliefs, so that they can have revelation, they could have awareness, the aha moments, the light bulbs going on, and recognizing what false beliefs that they are carrying is actually causing their chief complaint.
Can we do this? Can we do this? Can you guide us? You can use me. Use me as an example. I'm here. I'll be vulnerable. But can you give us a couple of the questions?
Sure. Yes. Go ahead. What are we working on today? First of all, we have to work on something legit, because the dialogue doesn't work if it's just willy-nilly, you know, something comfortable to work on. It has to be based in something quite real. And I mean, God bless you for being willing to be vulnerable. I think that's a great demonstration. I have done that at times in front of a group of people, and it's very helpful for people to see a leader being willing to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
However, it's very vulnerable.
Okay.
I mean, we go real deep with our questions. And you know, a V-Dialogue session would take probably, I mean, it could be quick. It can, but generally speaking, it's about like at least 45 minutes to like an hour and a quarter, right? So we're probably not going to do it like that, but just basically it unfolds as a question. Well, we could demo for a little bit.
Let's do like 2 to 3. Like we'll start, you know, we don't have to get to the bottom of the root. But I feel like for somebody listening, one of my peeps out there, and I got a few of them, I got a lot of them with a lot going on. Okay.
So, yeah.
I feel like this is even helpful from a perspective of, okay, well, if I'm not working with you, can I ask these 3 questions to myself, or can I work with you ultimately in your team? But can I use these questions to unlock something inside of myself instead of searching outwardly and going to a million different doctors? The answer is always here. So give me three and I'll give you a real example.
Well, what you're asking for is totally legit. I appreciate it, except that I want you to understand that it's a little bit like a jazz, like an improv, in the sense that there's no formulaic method to get at, because we're all so different. Our expression of our pain is so different. So that the questions, I could give you an example of one possible dialogue question.
Yeah.
But for like, oh, by the way, I did do a course called Counsel Thyself, and where I taught people to do this on themselves. And it is possible to do. It is possible to do. However, one can encounter the issue that one is blocked in the self, and that very block that's leading to the suffering is also blocking the process of getting at the answer and getting at the liberation, right? So in any case, all right, start with something and let's go. We'll do a few. Okay.
So the same pattern, and listen, and to my peeps, I'm gonna be real. And to you, Dr. Moshe, I'm gonna give you the real thing. And this is a pattern that continuously comes up for me. I take on other people's shit. I do, and I carry it, and I want to fix it, but it's not my job.
Right. Okay. So you have intellectual awareness. This is actually a very good illustration of sort of what unfolds during the dialogue. What we can have discovery and intellectual awareness of the problem. So you're already aware of this certain aspects of the problem. In contrast, another person might be like, I'm just not feeling very good. And they have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
So that's a different stage of their evolution, of their healing. But you're at the stage where you're like, all right, I'm aware that this isn't good for me, but I am still doing it. So then that means that there's certain there's certain aspects or happenings in your subconscious that are governing this behavior. So in the V's dialogue, we do discovery and then we do resolution. So we would be kind of moving from we still have to discover what it is that's guiding you, but there'd be some resolution in that. Okay. So you said, I do this thing whereby I take on other people's stuff and I try to fix it. Is that a good kind of feedbacky assessment?
Perfect. Yes.
Okay.
I used a swear word, but I like that you didn't. That was good.
Yes, I'm a very clean human being. I swear not, which is
love.
That's not true at all. But maybe I will swear just to prove it. Yes. Okay. So there's different directions. Like as you were saying, like I got a million and one things I want to ground this. I got 800 things I want to ask. So I have 800 things I want to ask too. But I'll sort of let it kind of boil to the surface, and then I want to choose the question that I feel is most relevant. And that could be, tell me more. But I don't want to ask that right now, because that's sort of like it's like when all else fails, say, tell me more. What would it be like for you if you experience in somebody else that they have problems and you don't do anything about it?
Well, as an empath, it would feel like I wasn't caring for them.
Aha. Uh-huh. So we could say that you have this idea that if somebody's suffering and I don't do anything about it, it means I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that true?
No.
Ah, good. So that's good, because you might also have said, yeah, it's true.
Yeah. No, I know it's not true. I know it's not true. And I know that I eventually will become the victim if I keep trying to help. You know
yes.
what I mean? Or the
yes.
I'll be the bad guy, the villain, I mean, if I keep trying to help.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that can happen that way, because people get attached to you helping, and then at some point you might do what's required, which is creating distance and reestablishing that person's healing path is their path, not yours. And then they'll accuse you of being an asshole and cold hearted and not caring, essentially, which is no fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No fun. Yeah. You feel me. Okay. So I'm feeling, so you just continue to dig and you dig and you dig, and what it makes the essentially, you're having me come up with the answer. So it's like I'm having the revelation. And in that aha moment, I can see it's like when, you know, you have a child and they solve a problem themselves, they're going to remember the lesson, right? So like for me,
yes,
if I'm solving the problem, but you're leading me to solve it, I'm going to remember that more than if you told me what to do.
Exactly. And that answers the question of what's the difference between regular therapy. In
yeah.
most cases, regular therapy is based on the model of the expert is the one that has knowledge, and they're going to help the other person by giving them stuff that they need to hear, or they need to understand. And what that does is it creates different problems. It could be helpful a little bit, although given the fact that a lot of the people that come to see us are, they tell us that, you know, one session could be like over a decade of these kinds of therapies. We can assume that this doesn't really work for them, because they're still, you know, spinning their wheels trying to solve the same problems with this model. So the reason why I think this model works so well is because the truth only comes from the person
yeah.
for themselves. That's why it's so healing.
I see that. And I feel like this is how you're tapping into that unconscious, because those conscious beliefs are those things that we're feeling on the surface. And I love it. Even in the show, I was like, before we hit record, I'm like, what would make this the best show ever? You're like, for you to go deep. And I feel like that is what you're doing. You're tapping into, you're asking a question, you're going deeper. You're asking a question, you're going deeper. You're tapping into the unconscious, which that's really where the limiting beliefs are. They're not on the surface. They're like,
yes.
You can walk in a room and be like, I'm confident and appear confident, but underneath you're screaming, I'm not worthy and I'm not supposed to be here.
Exactly. And that's what we get in this day and age of lots of good positive thinking. Nothing wrong with positive thinking. But if positive thinking occurs, like affirmations occurs on top of a subconscious, which is not in alignment with those thoughts, a discrepancy happens, which can continue to polarize by the person then becoming more affirmative of the positive aspect and more assertive of how they're good when they don't feel that way. It creates this discrepancy where a person's almost like, like their head is like separated from their body.
Yeah.
And I can feel, because I'm pretty empathic myself, I could feel what's going on in the pain body is not matching what's going on in the intent of the person's intellect. So we do have to go really deep. And how deep we go, you know, I like to say this to my students or people that I train is, don't underestimate how deep you have to go to unhook the problem. Because the discovery phase, there's multiple waves of discovery. So first you get this, you can kind of like clarify a belief system. So we already kind of got to a belief system within the first question, is that I believe, even though you know it's not true, there's still some, you know, idea that in order for me to care, you know, I have to help people, or I have to be really concerned about what's going on with them in order to otherwise I don't care. So it's like a mind pattern right there. So that pattern is an example of a belief, but it's probably pretty superficial for your quote unquote problem, which is going to be deeper. We're going to have to go into childhood and find out who the wounding parent was. Normally one, could be both, could be a sibling, could be an aunt or uncle, but these are less frequent. It's usually the parents.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I have done, let me tell you something. I have gone there and I have been there and I saw, you know, I went got the tape of it. You know what I'm saying? And I know, man, I know exactly where it stems from. And I'll just say it and then we'll move on so we can help other people. But hopefully this helps somebody in this conversation. Like, I moved so much as a child. I moved so much. Like, I had to restart my life over 4 times when I was growing up. And I just know the need to be liked showed up so much for me and to be accepted. So how I was accepted was I was funny. And then I was also caring and a great friend, and I will be your best friend and I will show up for you, but I'm also going to make you laugh. And if I don't do that, if you don't feel me being your bestie, then I've failed and I'm not doing my job. And I also saw, like, I have some approval. Sorry, Dad. My dad was just like a great guy. He still is a great guy, but I sought approval from him for some reason, and I don't do that anymore. And so I cut that cord a while ago, and that felt really freaking good. But that childhood wound of liking and being accepted and belonging and having to like research. And I moved to places like that. I moved from the sticks of Georgia to like a suburb of Detroit. So I was this brand new, thrown into all different types of spaces and places. And I realized that's where it's from. I know it.
My next question would be like, what we would want to focus on would be what it was like for you to move from all these places. And then to like the theme around being liked or not being liked is central here based on what you've shared. So that because you created a compensation to be liked by being funny and being there for everybody. And such that if you don't do that, you're going to be sitting with the original pain and the wound of what it was like to be torn from all these different places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got friend groups from my past that I feel like they want me to show up a certain way and I just don't do it anymore, you know?
Well, good for you. That's good. So you're fasting from the compensation, which is what I recommend everybody to do. Like I worked with predominantly women with a body dysmorphic disorder, you know, and they're going to the gym to, because they gain a lot of value from their appearance, their body's appearance and stuff like that. So I will recommend that they don't go to the gym for a bit, because then they can actually start to contact what's actually inside of them that doesn't feel good for them, rather than the constant, you know, drip of an IV feeling good about myself because I'm doing this external, conditional, totally not unconditionally loving of the self. So then by eliminating that, which is what you've done, that's a step in the direction of healing, because the ultimately what the Beast Dialogue is based on is this idea that who we are is unconditionally okay as we are. Mm. Like there's no condition that we need to meet to be okay. But we get into trouble because as kids, we don't get something. Let's say attention, respect, voice being heard, love, admiration from our parents, one or two. Then we identify that thing we're not getting. We say, that's why I'm not happy, because I'm not being loved. And as a child, it's true. It makes sense, because a child ought to be loved in that way and heard and nurtured and all that. But our lives are set up in a very special way that creates this wonderful opportunity for a wound. But then we get attached to thinking, if I could only be heard, or if I could only be loved in the way I want to be loved, then I will be okay. So that's a condition. And that condition is actually not true, even though it was at a time when we were a child. So we have to kind of like understand that who we really are is unconditionally okay, and to detach from the need for having these conditions met in order to be happy.
Okay. I'm literally just, we're bouncing all over the place, but I have to show you this because we're in the deep pockets, but I want to bring in something. I want to bring in something that might bounce us, because I'm a pretty spiritual person and I meditate a lot. And I'll tell you that this same pattern is coming up for me again of acceptance and likability. And I'm entering in some new things within our business that are causing these like parts of me to flare.
Mm.
And I had this meditation last night, and it was like beautiful, and it was a writing meditation, and I'm a little impatient for things in my life at this moment because I want them to happen sooner. And I got this literally download that was the word wait, but it's an acronym. And it was WAIT. Why am I trembling? And then, so why am I in fear? And then it's like, here's the opposite of that. Same acronym, WAIT. What's already is there? Or what's already is there? So, no, hold on.
What already is there? Yeah.
Because I think that pulls into what you're saying. When we look around for external validation, and when we seek approval, and we seek all these things, we're essentially turning to fear instead of, if we take a peek at what already exists. When we stop going to the gym and we look in the mirror and we see this beautiful body standing before us that gives us life and helps us walk and helps us do all these things, we're paying attention to what's already there versus this external factor that I feel like a lot of us crave, myself included.
Yeah, for sure. All of us. We crave in our own way, we crave something outside of us. And otherwise, we'd be kind of enlightened to the fact that we are already there. We are okay. We are good. We are full of light and peace. There's nothing that we need externally to give us that thing, because the thing is not outside of us. That's the big deception of this world. You know, it's like this world is here to continuously reinforce this notion of you gotta, you know, get the grades or look the part or say the right thing in order to be okay. And that's false. That's completely false. The peace of the self, like S-E-L-F, like is connected to the energy of the cosmos, which is good. It's good.
Totally.
It's peace. Yeah.
That, and I feel like, so when people, and tell me if I'm misstepping here, when people tap into their unconscious, and I notice you say unconscious, not subconscious. Is there a reason?
No.
Okay. So, okay. Well, when people tap into that, they are coming home to themselves, essentially.
It's closer. The self that I referred to is beyond the subconscious. We have different depths.
Yeah.
We could also refer to these as like the bodies that we inhabit. So obviously the physical body is an obvious body that we inhabit. So is the emotional body and the mental, like the intellect is also a body, although it's subtler. The emotion is less subtle than the intellect, and the physical body is obviously the least subtle. But the emotional field is what kind of dwells with the subconscious. So, you know, you might feel upset and you could feel that you're feeling upset, but might not know why. Like you might not have, that's a little bit out of touch because the subconscious, it has the mind stuff buried in it.
Sure.
And I like to, something is very helpful for people that I like to share. It helps them understand, demystify the unconscious because it sounds so like, oh, the subconscious, like, what is it? How do we know it? It's so mysterious. We'll never get a grasp of it. But really, the way I see the subconscious, it's just like layers of sedimentation in a mountain. Whereas in the age of your youth, when you were 3, 4, 5, you were saying the same thing to yourself over and over. And then you got distracted and you became a young teenager and then you were doing all kinds of stuff. But you no longer were consciously aware of the things that you had been saying consciously at the time. Now, sometimes it doesn't even start consciously. It could start in the subconscious. Mirroring somebody. You're not even aware you're mirroring their feel. You're mirroring their thoughts, their fears, their anxieties. But let's say I'm just painting an example of how the subconscious can form also is that you're like, oh, I'm not good enough. They don't like me. I'm not good enough. They don't like me. I'm not good enough. They don't like me. It goes into the back of the mind. So it's in the back of the mind. You're still saying, I'm not good enough. They don't like me, but you're not hearing it anymore. Just like if there's a fan on in the room, it's you don't even hear it anymore.
Sure.
But it's right there in the room. It's right there. So the subconscious is in the same room that we are, but we've just stopped hearing it because it's so habitual that it's just gone to the back of the mind. That's how I see the subconscious. And there are layers of that. Like the older the stuff, the stuff that has the most influence is the oldest and deepest. And that's buried. That's the most buried in the back.
And so within the Vyas dialogue, you're like, and I get what you're saying. You're literally, it's like one of those dolls, you know, that has a bunch of dolls in it.
Yeah, Russian dolls.
Yeah, Russian dolls. You're like opening the doll. Then you got to open the next doll. Then you got to open the next doll to get to the tiny little baby doll, which started when you were a tiny little baby. And then
you're like, yay, we got to the tiny baby. Oh, yeah. Wait a sec. Wait. Oh, no. Oh, there's another doll in there.
Oh, yeah.
And then another doll in there.
It's a particle of a doll. Yeah, it's a particle.
Well, I don't want to imply that there's not some endpoint because there is an endpoint because these things that we carried are finite in nature.
Sure.
Our true nature is not finite. But these things that we believe about ourselves are finite. So they have a beginning and an end, and therefore they can be deselected. They can be unchosen.
Man, I hope so many people listen to this show. I'm so fascinated by this work. I love it. I got some more dolls to uncover myself. Okay. But I feel like, you know, I've started uncovering them. And it's liberating. I'll just say this for somebody who's just meeting you for the first time, but loving and huge fan of this work. I mean, it helps in every part of your life, from your, you know, I'm a mom, to my family, to being a leader, to being a host, to being a creative. Like, there's, it trickles over. And to anybody, I feel like, listening who wants to know more, we'll share all of your stuff and all of your work with them. But I have fun questions before we go, because I thought about these beforehand and I just got to know the answers. Okay. So if healing had a soundtrack, what three songs would be on it?
Can I say Marvin Gaye's "Will I Get That Feeling"?
I want sexual healing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, certainly this our sexuality is very central in healing. So that would probably have to be on the soundtrack. And what we desire sexually is a reflection of our wounded self wanting to fulfill itself through release of that which we desire, or the fulfillment of that which we desire. So the person that we are attracted to, and this could be very unhealthy attraction, but sometimes you just could be so attracted to someone, they're like not a good partner at all. There's such an attraction because they represent some means of fulfilling the wound.
Sure.
Right? Sure. So that's very, very deep. It's very deep. And our choices in sexuality definitely reflect that. So that would be one soundtrack. And then what else? That's a really good question. Wow.
If you have two, you can do two. You don't have to do three.
Well, okay. So let's just do then. Let's do this. There's this song. I think it's by India Ari.
Yeah.
It's "I Am Light." All right. So maybe that one. I probably could come up with better answers, but on the spot, that's I like this spontaneous idea question. Yeah.
Well, if you come up with give it to us. We'll put it in the show notes, your Spotify playlist of healing. Okay. But no pressure. Okay. This is my second fun question. What belief about health do you wish we could just toss out the window right now? If you could put it in like a hashtag, what would it be?
That conventional medicine is the authority on health.
Mm.
Yeah, they're not.
Hashtag no conventional medicine.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't put no conventional medicine, because I think they will always fulfill the role of being expert at heroic measures of medicine, even if that is toxic and damaging in some way. You know, if somebody has extreme trauma, and they need heroic measures, then I think conventional medicine will always fulfill that. And so I'm not, so I would remove them from any authority in dealing with chronic illness, because they have no helpful, real healing tools for that.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. And for the people listening today, my peeps, I love y'all so much, but for the skeptics, those saying my unconscious can't possibly be making me sick, what would you say?
Yeah, I would say, what would I say to them? My unconscious can't possibly be making me sick. Have you ever been sick? The answer, I'm assuming, is going to be yes. And what made you sick? And I'm going to assume the answer would be, well, I don't know, some kind of viral pathogenic thing or whatever. And then they're just not aware of the terrain theory, in the sense that that virus, that bacteria, let's say we're talking about an acute infection, can only take its root if it has an opening. And the opening has a lot to do with the block in the vital force. And the block in the vital force has everything to do with the subconscious. So really, for a skeptic, and I don't waste too much time with skeptics anymore. When I had something to prove, you know, I was like a young buck coming out of the gates of naturopathic medicine. I had stuff to prove. But now I have nothing to prove. And so I don't waste my time trying to convince skeptics. Like, if they want to be skeptical, they're by all means, like, as long as you're not imposing your will on anybody else, you are welcome to put your mind wherever you want. I don't recommend it per se, but I think that there's just skeptics tend to be in denial of a lot of basic facts of who we are as human beings, and they got to catch up a little bit.
I feel that. Because we're all souls given a body on this rock. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
I know.
All right. You know, you're picking up what I'm putting down. Okay. You got to tell everybody where they can find you, where they can get all of your material, if they want to learn from you, if they want to train from you, where'd they go?
Excellent. So if thou shalt desire the path of training, then kindly visit Holistic, Holistic-counseling with one L, counseling.ca, not .com. And if you want to work with me personally, like, I offer health programs and like sessions to go very deep, totally life changing, very healing. It's dr-moshe.com. And actually, through that second link, if the first one was too long and drawn out, through the first one, you can also click on the tab, Dr. Moshe, you could click on training, and that'll bring you to the training site. So,
love it.
Yeah, those are your options.
Mm-hmm. We'll hyperlink them all in the show notes. We'll hook you up. We'll give everybody, if you give us that playlist, we'll put the playlist in there. But I want to thank you so much for the clarity. There it is, the word. The clarity that you gave us today. I feel I uncovered some stuff in the unconscious. Okay. And as the guinea pig, I'm going to tell you, it works. It reminds you of where you're coming from and where you want to go. And I think your work is fascinating. I'm so glad that the podcast airwaves brought us together. Thank you for doing this work in this world. Any last thoughts before we go?
Yes. You asked me earlier what would make this the best show. For me, and the answer is you. You're an excellent and very fun host. Brilliant, great questions. So that's the answer. And I'm just grateful to be a part of this, very much so.
Oh, dude, thank you. I appreciate that. That means I'm working on that as well. Okay, so I receive, and I really do appreciate that. We loved having you on the show. Moshe, thank you for sharing your story and your wisdom. This conversation makes it clear. Healing isn't just about the body. It's about the hidden stories our unconscious is carrying. If you want to connect with Dr. Moshe, head to drmoshe.com or check out his training program at holistic-counseling.ca. Both of those links are in the show notes. And to my Workday Playdate fam, if this conversation sparked something for you, please share it with a friend who's been dealing with stress or illness. Sometimes the most healing thing we can do is share a new perspective. Until next time, keep laughing, keep playing, and keep showing up as the best version of you. I'll see you next time.